And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Big Heck Weight Adventures. I am your host, Big Heck, and with me today, we have a special guest on the episode. It is the one, the only, my beautiful wife, Heel Carm. Everyone give her a round of applause. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing this real quick while both girls are sleeping.
Yes, we are taking full advantage. So, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Wade cannot join us on this episode, but that is fine. With his blessing, both me and Heel Carm are going to be giving you guys our reviews on two things. Mandalorian just wrapped up, I want to say, yesterday. So we're going to give you our full review on The Mandalorian, which is, you know, episodes 1 through 8. And then we're also going to be giving you our review because it's been a week already. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not seen it yet, boo to you. Yes, I will say this, boo to you. We are going to be giving you our review on the one show that was the most anticipated, much long-awaited, The Witcher, starring Henry Cavill. And I know that my beautiful wife, Heel Carm, has got a lot to talk about when it comes to The Witcher because she is a huge, if not the number one, mark for Henry Cavill. Not a bad thing. I've given her the whole pass for him. If it happens, Henry Cavill, if you're listening to it, go ahead, brother. I'm not even mad at you. But anyway, so with that being said, let's get started. Babe, what do you want to record? What do you want to review first? Do you want to do Mandalorian or do you want to do The Witcher?
I guess we can start with The Mandalorian and then we'll work our way into The Witcher.
Okay. So here we go. We're going to give you our review of The Mandalorian. Now we're going to start, you know, we're going to say what we like, what we didn't like. And then once we're done with that, we'll give you our review basically on a 5-star rating.
Okay.
All right. So keep in mind, this is season 1 of Mandalorian. So I will kick it to Heel Carm and give us your opinion on The Mandalorian.
What can I say? As I'm not like a huge Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars and their lore and everything. The movies haven't done quite as well with the fandom.
Right.
When it comes to this. And I feel like The Mandalorian goes back to its roots of Star Wars. Like the original Star Wars.
The OG trilogy. The
OG trilogy.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, I think that's where they made their mistake. They put the it's great. But they put it out at a time where the last Star Wars movies is out. And you can't even bring that character or the baby or the child into the movie series.
The foundling.
And I feel like that's where they made their mistake. While The Mandalorian's great, it's greatly written. It's a little slow pace in the beginning, but it's not a bad slow pace. Like, I like it. Everything was where it's supposed to be, how the episode is supposed to be. And, you know, my biggest gripe is that now The Mandalorian is here. It's great. Season 1 wrap. But what is it going to mean for the Star Wars movies?
Because
supposedly, the universe, supposedly that's it. We're not getting any more movies.
Right. Now, I do believe that Disney did go on record saying that although with Rise of the Skywalker, it was going to be the end of the movie trilogies, but they did have plans to continue on with the Star Wars universe. So now with that being said, even though this does technically take place after Return of the Jedi and before The Force Awakens.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like right when the Empire falls. So it's supposed to be a few years after the Empire falls. That's where The Mandalorian takes place.
Right.
So it's actually before, like,
it's Force before Awakens. Force Awakens, yeah. After Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So it's like in that between thing. And I like where it picked off, like how we see like the Empire is basically in hiding and everyone is, you know, not terrified of them how they were in the old Star Wars. You know, they're
basically they were Big Brother back in the OG trilogy and now they're just
disintegrated and they're all scattered and everyone's scared and their money is worth nothing.
Yeah.
As if you see in the beginning of the episode, Imperial credits don't mean anything. So if you racked up on those Imperial credits, boo for you, because they mean nothing by now.
Pretty much.
But I it was greatly written. I enjoyed it very well. For me, it got me on episode 1, and I came back every Friday to sit my butt down when the girls were asleep and continue to watch it, because it grabbed me. It kept you
engaged. Yes, like it always found a way, even though it was a slow piece, it found its way to be like, oh, wow, well, you know what? Even though this is moving kind of slow, I'm interested.
I'm interested.
I'm engaged.
And every episode, it's different. Like, it's a different thing. The beginning was obviously the first few episodes was the child.
Right.
You know, of him finding the child and him giving the child bag and, you know, back and forth. But it's like every episode it was him and the child and they're on their little adventure things, which I think I enjoyed. And I can't wait for season two and, you know, what that entails.
Which we are getting a season two.
Yes.
We've already confirmed it. Fall 2020, we will be getting season two of The Mandalorian. So I think that's actually great. And seeing that someone has, I want to say, experienced within the Marvel universe, Jon Favreau, the man who gave us the first Iron Man movie, which was, let's face it, out of the trilogy, was the best one.
Yes.
With the exception of Terrence Howard playing Rhodey. I will always go on record saying this. No one cares about this crybaby ass dude.
No,
constantly
don't
going
say it like that.
Next time you come in a slow V.
No,
nah, like, we don't need that. But again, I
mean, he was replaced with a better actor. So
obviously, Don Cheadle, you are the dude. I love the fact that you took over Rhodey.
Okay, so maybe if we just bring that Rhodey into like Iron Man 1, it'll be the best Iron Man.
Yeah, like, you know what they need to do? They basically need to reshoot Iron Man 1. No, not reshoot it. They could do what they did with the Star Wars trilogy. You know how, like, at the end of Return of the Jedi, we found Anakin, and it wasn't the old dude from the original clip. They actually brought in the new Anakin.
Oh, they, like, edited him.
Yeah, the CGI. Can we just CGI Don Cheadle into the first ones without the crying?
That's so funny.
I'm just saying. Like, this is what I'm trying to get at. But anyway, Jon Favreau did an amazing job with this. Like, he's credited throughout all of the episodes. Like, this is, I feel like he just did, like, someone who's seasoned and experienced as Jon Favreau and who knows what fans like and who knows how to bring that to the screen, he just did an amazing job.
And, you know, and Pedro Pascal, who did Mandalorian, who did Mando, he did an amazing job. I found him through Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's our man Oberon.
That's my man Oberon. And, you know, when I heard that he was taking this over and when I first heard about The Mandalorian, I wasn't really too interested in it because I was just like, okay, cool. I mean, that's his next project, blah, blah, blah. You know, Disney Plus is coming out. I got Disney Plus solely because I'm a big kid at heart. And anyone that knows me knows I love all my Disney movies. But I think I'm going to keep Disney Plus just to see the next season of
where Mandalorian goes.
Yeah, from here. So.
And I feel like it's only going to get better because, yes, Disney Plus in its infancy still, you know, in the beginning, it had its hiccups. You know, they didn't think, I guess, or they didn't anticipate the amount of subscribers that they were going to get. Not realizing that their umbrella now, it just ranges such a broad category, you know, and it reaches out to such a broad, you know, audience.
Yeah.
You're talking about Marvel, Disney, the National Geographic people, and
Pixar.
You are a National Geographic fan. Because you like Dr. Pohl and Dr. K and
Dr. Oakley,
you know. And those are our three shows that we watch. Not to mention, we still haven't even started with Cesar Millan. But again,
yeah,
you know,
I'm still
they have such a broad umbrella to reach out to an audience that we're going to get new shows constantly coming in from Disney+.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that they continue The Mandalorian the way it was in the first season.
Right.
I wanted to them to change and be like, oh, so we can make more money, we're going to change this and do this and that. Like, no, keep it at the pace it's at, keep it the way it's written, keep it with the actors that they have. I
Pedro Pascal is amazing.
He is. I really like him. And, you know, even, and I watched Narcos, which was another show he was in. He was in the first two seasons of that, and that character from Mondo obviously is different, but like, he's a really good actor. And when he was brought into this, I knew that he was going to take it and
run with it.
So I wasn't worried. I was, like I said, I wasn't really interested in it only because I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
But after seeing Mandalorian, you know, I'm becoming a big Star Wars fan. I will forgive him for the prequel movies and just enjoy this show, and maybe they'll take other characters from the Star Wars universe and maybe do other shows to help the fandom a little bit, and they can do little crossover stuff, you know, kind of like how, like, you know, the CW does with the DC.
Oh, with the DC universe.
Shows. Yeah.
Oh, like Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Exactly.
Like what they're doing.
Exactly. So maybe they'll do that same thing for the Star Wars world, and it'll help their fandom too, which are right now suffering a little bit with these movies. And The Mandalorian is like their hope that things will get better.
It's their light that's shining at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. And this, I think that the show, the movie should have kind of taken, or maybe they should have done the shows first and then the movies to kind of, you know,
right,
set things.
Set the tone.
Exactly. And I just feel like from what I'm hearing, I haven't seen the Rise of the Skywalker, but I'm hearing that it feels a little rushed towards the end. And I don't like when they do that. They've done that with a couple movies. I like that they feel like everything rushed towards the end. So, yes, Mandalorian, my take on it, because, see, once again, my ADD, I go everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, watch it. If you are not a big Star Wars fan, watch it anyway. It'll definitely drag you in. You definitely want to start going into the lore of things, of different characters out there. So, if you like shows that are a little slow-paced, but that grab your attention, that you invest yourself on these characters, definitely watch the show. Don't think because, you know, the meme of Baby Yoda's out there and that's the show is basically entirely based on Baby Yoda. No, it's not.
It really isn't. He is a focus.
He is a focus because
he's the added bonus focus like that you
little,
needed.
Like a little cuteness that you need in the show. So yes, go. I suggest, you know, if you have Disney Plus and you haven't seen it yet, please sit down and watch it. It's only at 8 episodes. And now all 8 episodes are out. So you don't have to suffer like we did, waiting every week. True. Like little fiends looking and seeing if Disney Plus has put out the new Mandalorian yet. Sit, watch it, enjoy. It's great. Even if you are, like I said, not a Star Wars fan, but you like just any kind of fandom, this is definitely a show to watch.
Do you feel like this is a good segue, even though it's so far into the Star Wars universe timeline-wise? This would be a great segue for someone who isn't a Star Wars fan to kind of bring them into the fold.
I think so, yes. Because they don't really, like, if you watch the show, they don't discuss anything of Luke Skywalker, of Darth Vader, or of any of the main characters
right.
of Star Wars.
These are all side characters.
This is all like a side story, basically. Right. But you sit there and you're like, wow, I'm a little intrigued. I wonder what is this Star Wars world that they're talking about. What is the Empire? What is what's Mandalore? What's Baskar? What's all this stuff? And you're like, maybe I really want to watch the Star Wars. Maybe I'll go back. And honestly, people, if you have never watched Star Wars, please go with the originals first, you know, and then, I mean, obviously, you know, the prequels help you go into the OG Star Wars, but please watch the OG Star Wars first, just because
that's the way it's intended.
Yes.
It's supposed to always be the original trilogy.
And then if you want the prequels, if you're right. interested in the backstory of Darth Vader, and then, you know, into the new one. Even though we're horrible, we have not seen Rogue One yet.
I don't want to see Rogue One at this point because my boy, my homie, you know, Donnie Yen is in it. And even though he's Force sensitive, he's not Jedi or anything. It's just when I heard what happens at the end of the movie is I don't want to see my boy go out like that.
Oh, yeah. No, we need to see this. It's like a side story. Remember, we're doing side stories right now. Mandalorian's a side story. So we will probably do another recording on the fact that Big Heck and I have not watched
Rogue One.
And maybe that'll be an episode.
And Solo.
But I haven't heard
Solo.
Heard great things on Solo. See. But because we're doing the side character things, maybe we should give it a chance and see Solo. But I definitely want to see Rogue One. I'm, you know, probably going to have a nice
Jane
big
Eyre.
Box of...
Jane Eyre is the main character for...
Big box of tissues, strong woman. I love it. It's very female empowering, which is what I love. Especially when it comes to my girls. Being a mom of two girls. Is definitely... It's cool to see, like, a female main character, which I should have seen Rogue One. I don't know what's going on with
me. We haven't had time. I mean, considering the fact when Rogue One came out and then now we have Emmy Boo and, you know, Boogie Styles is so busy. And
I work now.
Yeah, you're working, so.
It sucks to be a girl. Right. People don't grow up.
Sorry for us going on a little tandem there, but going back, on a 5-star rating for 1 to 5 stars, what do we give Mandalorian?
All right, maybe I'm being, like, biased, but I say 5 because that's how much I enjoyed it. I mean, maybe they're a little hiccups here and there, but I enjoyed the entire series as a whole. I'll give it a 5. It's just right. that good for me. And I just started rewatching it yesterday a little bit with
our cousin.
So I feel like just even rewatching it, I wasn't bored of it. So
I feel like this is something you may always be able to go back and start over again
and not be bored of it. So yeah, right. I will give it a 5 just based on if I'm able to rewatch the show and it doesn't put me to sleep and I'm still intrigued on it, I give it a 5.
All right. That's a fair, I want to say that's a fair rating only because I'm pretty much at the point where I want to give this a 5-star rating as well. And again, you know, we have some pretty big name actors who came into it. You know, not big name actors, but definitely actors that we do know who are well known. Nick Nolte is the voice of Kylo. You know, we had Gina Carino who came in, and anyone who does know me personally knows that I am a huge Gina Carino fan.
And I enjoyed her character.
Her character was amazing. Kara was amazing.
I don't want to give too much away. Right. I don't know if people have seen it or not. I mean, we could do a part 2 of this if you like, and we can name all the characters that are in it and everybody that's in it. But I feel like this is just like a little, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, please go watch it. And then if you want, we can do a part 2 episode of this, and then we'll talk about each episode and maybe like all the characters that are in it and how it's directed, which I like. Every episode has a new director, which is like a new aspect of like what they feel of the show and stuff like that. And I like it. I like that. I like that there's new director in each episode. But okay, go ahead.
The one thing I will say is this, that actors who did at least pop up for me that were like super surprising, Giancarlo Esposito, who we've seen in other movies, he's always like a side character, but like he just popped up in here. I was like, wow, like, dude, I did not expect to see him here. Also, the one surprise character for me. And again, this is going far back, even though she was in that travesty of a movie make that I did have my Unhinged episode based on, Street Fighter. Ming Na showed up and did phenomenal. She is a great actress. And it just sucks that she had to be placed in such position to play a very important female character in a terrible movie. And then I feel like she's just been doing nothing but redemption from there on out. You know what I mean? But that's my homegirl Ming Na. If I ever get a chance to meet her, I might just cry.
Didn't the voice of Mulan?
She did the voice of Mulan.
I love Mulan. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's what I'm saying. Redemption since Street Fighter. You had her voice Mulan.
She's in my favorite.
She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I heard she was amazing in that.
She's also in my favorite, one of my favorite movies.
The Joy Luck Club.
Thank you, Joy Luck Club.
Yes, I do know this. I do know this, ladies and gentlemen. I have been married to this woman for 10 years. We're working on year 11. And I do know, and I sat down and watched The Joy Luck Club.
It was good.
It wasn't bad. Is it my particular cup of tea? Am I into these type of movies? No, but I will say I did like it. It was a good movie. Yeah. Going on a rant again. So sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
You can't put me and Hector together.
We can just talk. Yeah, it's really bad. And this is why we get in trouble with certain things, because we just run out of time for things. I'm going to give it a 5-star rating as well. It was very engaging. The cast is amazing. Seeing Nick Nolte voice a character just out of nowhere was like shocking.
I have spoken.
But again, Mandalorian was excellent. I really feel like it's a great addition to the Star Wars universe. And I feel like Jon Favreau, just kudos to you, man. Like, I would love a grilled cheese sandwich from you, because I did see Chef, because you just made it look so damn delicious. But aside from that, dude, like, you did your thing with the show. And, you know, big applause to, like, Pedro Pascal and the whole entire cast. Bill Burr showing up was amazing, because that was just shocking as hell. I didn't think he would ever step out of his comedic role to join us and do something like this.
He's also kind of a bit of a
dick. We can say that. You know, we'll put the explicit rating on here. But again, you know, it was all around engaging and enjoyable. And I feel like this is for anyone who wants to, you know, whether you're a fan of, you know, the Star Wars fandom or not, you can actually just sit down and truly enjoy this movie.
Okay. We forgot to mention Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah. Our man Apollo from Rocky's in there. Like, holy shit.
You understand, like, brought back feels too to see him. And I'm like, yeah, man, getting old.
I mean, the one thing I will say, because we did kind of crack the joke, is like when you see Carl Weathers in this show and, you know, some things do take a turn, you kind of hit the Rocky moment. You were like, yo, you know, kind of like, fuck Carl Weathers right now. Yeah, you know, dies, if he dies, he dies. Dies.
Yeah,
and it was kind of like the gag.
And then he redeems himself. And
he does. How. He does. He does do the redemption part. But I kind of started laughing. I was like, yo, like, for real, Carl Weathers? Like, you really, like, fuck you at this point. Like, you just really upset me right now. But, all right. We are running a little bit out of time, so we are going to do we're going to end this portion of the episode here, and then we're going to pick up with a part two, and we're going to give you our review on The Witcher. All right, so stay tuned. All right, and here's part two of our review. Again, apologies for cutting the other episode short. It's just because we were running a little bit on time, so... Now we're going to give you our review of The Witcher. Much anticipated, much awaited. We've been seeing a lot of previews in like the Comic-Cons, you know, from San Diego up into New York. And it's finally here. Excuse me. Now The Witcher is casted with, I want to say, you know, personally, one big name, which is Henry Cavill. And if you guys don't know who this is, shame on you, because this is our Superman. You know, this is Superman. We had him in Man of Steel, BVS. We had him in Justice League for a brief. And, you know, well, me and Big Way talked about how DC kind of flopped on these things. But, you know.
Moving on.
I want to say, aside from the obviously well-known Henry Cavill, this is a very fresh and a very new cast that we're seeing. At least here stateside, these may be big names over in the UK. But again, this show was amazing. The episodes are kind of long in length. They're kind of reminiscent of Game of Thrones-ish.
An hour?
In the length of the show.
Some of them are like an hour.
But I gotta say, man, like, just surprised the shit out of me. Especially finding out, me personally, I didn't know Henry Cavill was a video gamer, man. Like, that shit just hit home for me. And knowing that Henry Cavill played through The Witcher 1, 2, and 3 and found his own voice for Geralt. You know, Geralt is like, this is that dude right now. And again, you know, I'm going on my little bit of a rant, but like, just... Big ups to Henry Cavill for like saying that he played through The Witcher 1, 2, and 3 multiple times.
Good for him.
Good for him, man, because I heard that shit was hard.
Hard as hell.
I still haven't played it, but watching this show made me want to actually go back and play the games and, you know, possibly read the books, even though I heard the books are lengthy. And I got to give it to Netflix for this, man. They did say that what they're giving us in the show is they are pulling from every aspect of the Witcher world, from the books to the games to the side stories, the short stories that they have. They're doing it all, and they're going to give it to us the best they can. And I feel like bringing it to film and bringing it on screen.
Well, it's not really a film. It's a series.
Right. I'm bringing it on film. When I mean on film, like to the screen.
Yeah.
They are just giving us the best of everything.
And hence why I haven't canceled my Netflix too.
True. I don't feel like we're canceling it for a while. But, you know, with all of that, you know, being known now, let's go ahead and give me your opinion on The Witcher, babe.
All right. So, The Witcher. Now, if you are not into, like, the lore world, I want to say, like, right, witches and warlocks and sorcerers and all that magical things, then this show probably isn't for you. Please watch something else. Right. It's good, though. I mean, if you do like that world, you'll thoroughly enjoy this show. It got me hook, line, and sinker on episode one. You know, and the way they did it, and as you start watching it and stuff, you're like, oh, man, what the hell's going on? Like, I want right now, I really want to do spoilers, but we're going to do spoil-free, I think.
We'll try to keep this as spoil-free as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say this. It's been a week we gave everyone like a solid week.
No, because of Mandalorian, we just did that one, and we kind of did a spoiler free.
We really didn't spoil much. All we said was the name of the actors.
I don't want to spoil either.
I know, but with The Witcher.
With The Witcher,
they had a week. Boo to you if you haven't seen anything yet.
Anyway, I'm not gonna spoil anything for you.
Oh, shit, I didn't say that. But go ahead.
Great show, great written, and anyone that did not have faith that this show was going to be good, ha to you.
We ha in your face.
Ha in your face. Because this show was well written, well acted, and like I said, the only person there, the only known actor was Henry Cavill. That's the only known actor. The rest are, from what I'm seeing or from what I've read, are not really well known. They were
fresh cast.
It's like a fresh cast. Yeah, bringing fresh blood for this show that's greatly written. I'm not comparing it to Game of Thrones. So if anyone compares to Game of Thrones, I'm gonna punch him in the face. It's nothing like Game of Thrones.
Metaphorically, she's not gonna physically punch anyone
maybe
in the
I
face.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. You don't
okay,
know.
Okay. All right. Let's keep it going.
Don't compare it to Game of Thrones because it's not. It's completely different.
Game of Thrones is set on
in a
completely
different world.
Fantasy world. This is literally. To the point of this is a dark fantasy world where
you know how some people, as soon as they see people in armor and some witchcraft kind of thing, oh, you know, it has to be kind of, no, it's not Game of Thrones. This is something fresh. Please watch it.
Yeah. George R. R. Martin had no type of influence into this world whatsoever.
No. And can we stop? Because now we're talking about The Witcher. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes, fresh faces, as Hector was saying. I enjoyed the storyline. I enjoyed the way it was written. You feel bad for the main characters of the show as you keep going. You know, I definitely feel bad for Gerald. He went through a lot of crap in that show. And it pissed me off a lot.
He was basically like, I want to say it was almost every episode you saw him kind of get shunned.
Yeah, him. And then, you know what? I also feel bad for Jennifer. Yennefer. That's what I see. Yennefer's character is, you know, you see who she is, and I'm going to say it, if you guys haven't seen it, I'm sorry. You see her, and you see that she wasn't this beautiful sources as you continue to see her in later on in the episodes. When you first meet her, she has this huge hunchback. Her face is all messed up.
It's deformed.
Yeah, and the actress who plays her, like if you see her, you're like, well, she's really pretty. And then you see her in all this makeup and you're like, wow. And I felt bad for her. I really did. Like, you know, she was never loved by anyone, this poor girl. And she finally meets this boy who I'm not going to tell you who it is. He gets me really mad. And, you know, she gets brought into this world, not on her own free will.
Right.
And she gets taken away something that, once again, not on her own free will. And she did it because she wanted to be beautiful.
Right.
Because she thought that beauty was going to bring her all this happiness and all this power that she's always wanted. And it doesn't. And then these two meet, and you'll see how they meet. And feel bad for both of them because, you know, they're soulmates. They may not know it because right now they hate each other. But I mean, I love Hector and at times I want to punch him in his face. So that's their relationship.
Right. I mean, I want to punch you in the face, maybe, you know, put you into the wall. But...
Oh, same here, buddy. But I guess that's
all right, moving on.
That's how all great relationships start.
Exactly.
But when you meet them and then you meet the girl that he's supposed to be protecting and it's like the way the episodes are and you're like at some point you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what? I'm sorry. I cursed. You see? I can't because then that's how I get.
That's fine. We're putting the explicit tag on here.
I'm like, what's going on here? Like, it's how
chaos.
Are these episodes but it's like controlled chaos.
Right. And it's the one thing I will say in this is that they kind of did it where yes, there were points when you're watching the show, like especially because we start to follow Geralt and then we're starting to follow Yennefer.
And then you start following
Siri.
So Siri it's like is you're where you get like, confused then. And when you meet Siri and where she's at, and then where you're seeing the other, like, you know, like the episodes go back and forth. And you're like, yo, what timeline are we in? That's how I felt. And then at some point you're like, it clicks and you're like, oh, but I don't want to tell you where it clicks because you guys have to watch it.
Exactly.
And then And then it's like, oh, I see how they did this. That's so smart of them.
Because it was a perfect segue for them to lead us into what? A very much confirmed season 2. But we're not getting that till 2021,
people.
You bastards.
I mean, man.
You son of a bitch.
I'm just so mad about that.
You knew what you were doing, Netflix. You brought us into this world, and now you're just making us salivate for the next season.
Who was the actress that played
One who plays Yennefer?
Yennefer
is played by actress Anya Chalatra.
Oh, man. You are so... See, like, if you see me say that, it's because there's no way in hell I was going to pronounce that right. And she's awesome, by the way. If I ever meet her, I'm going to tell her. I really enjoyed her acting. She was really good. Her and Henry, like, clicked. Like, yeah. How they were. It was just, like,
great
natural.
Chemistry.
Yes.
The chemistry between them was amazing.
I've noticed that with some actors, even if they're two big-name actors, they don't click well. You can kind of feel it. You're like, but these are like, you know, he's a big star. She's not that big star, but they clicked very well together on screen. I think I hope that they dive in a little bit into them more in season 2. Because I felt like they would put them together, but I didn't get enough screen time. For me.
Right. And then the funny thing is, too, like, when we're watching it, we keep hearing, you know, your destiny is tied to, you know, X, Y, and Z, or your destiny is, you know, is entangled with such and such. But then they don't really kind of, like, blatantly come out and say it. And then it's like, you're kind of trying to piece everything together. But as you progress and you continue on through the storyline, in this first season, they kind of start taking the fog away from you and kind of paint a better picture.
Oh, by the way, from now on, if anybody owes me anything, I'm going to start saying Law of Surprise. Just randomly. If you owe me a favor and if I say Law of Surprise, don't be confused by it. That's just my thing now. And if you watch the series, you know what that is.
All I'm going to say is please don't let it be a child surprise. We got 2 already.
No child surprise. I don't want no one's kids. But Law of Surprise is funny. I'm definitely going to put that out there for people that owe me favors. Or if I owe you a favor, you can always call a Law of Surprise too. It's cool. Don't worry about it. I get it. I've seen The Witcher. We're cool.
Yep, we're good. But I mean, again, this was a very much anticipated show that Netflix was promoting. And it was great to see how even like I did a lot of like YouTube reviews. Like I was watching like all these interviews, you know, with Henry Cavill and the cast. And a lot of it was just like it was amazing to find out what they put themselves through. Like, I'll say this, and I don't know if anyone's even heard this. Did you know Henry Cavill dehydrated himself for 3 days just for certain scenes in that show?
Yeah, because you have to dehydrate yourself so all your muscles can come up.
Right, but for 3 days, this man did it.
No thanks. I'm not that.
I'm talking about this man literally would drink
I didn't mean
to
say no thanks because that's actually, I know those scenes and I'm like, thank you very much, Henry. Like, your work, you know. It's amazing. And I think with this one, for him, this was more like a passion project.
Right.
You can see it in the episodes and everything.
Especially for someone who is an actual fan of this series.
Exactly. So it was a passion project for him. And he took it. And no one thought that he would do a good job on it because all they see when they see him is, oh, well, he was Superman.
Or he was in Immortals.
And he wasn't even that great of Superman, which is a lie. I'm sorry.
That's BS.
I know that everyone gets mad because of how DC's doing the movies, but he's a great Superman. And I know everyone's gonna say, oh, because he's cute and he has no muscles. It's not that.
No.
He was a good Superman. I liked him. I liked where he took his character from.
Here's where I'm going. So, now we're gonna do a little sidetrack. Henry Cavill, as an actor, by far, is amazing. And I'm gonna say it like this. Anyone who could take an origin piece story like he did in The Man of Steel and showcase it and show the raw emotion that you see Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, Kal-El, the raw emotion and see what he went through as a child being brought up and getting to the end of Man of Steel, where he is torn between having to save the world that he grew up in and he loves versus killing one of the last known people that from kind. A planet that he kind. Is from.
He's his kind, basically.
Right. Seeing that raw emotion brought is and, you amazing.
Know, and we see that emotion again in the last episode of The Witcher. You'll see it too, which like, I'm hoping in season two we see a little bit more of his background.
Right.
And how he became a witcher. Like, we saw a little bit like what his mother did, how, but we don't know what his training was, what they did to his eyes, what he went through. Why does he have white hair? Like,
the mutation process
that, you know, when I'm going to spoil a little bit, when you see that episode, you see him as a child, no white hair. He has little brown curly hair, like Emily, like, you know, like he has right, like my daughter. Like, he has, you know, he's a human child. So I'm hoping in season two, we see a little bit more of his background, of his mutation, of how he became the Witcher and why he continued, you know, I want to know why his mother would do something like that. Cause I'm a mom too. And there's no way how you're going to rip my kids apart from me.
Right.
Like, what was her choice? What was her aspect? I'm hoping that they bring that more into light. They did a little bit of it in the episode when he was hallucinating. You'll see why he was hallucinating, but I don't know. My opinion is he did a great job. The Witcher's worth watching. Give it a chance. If you are a Henry Cavill fan, you'll enjoy him in this one for sure. You do get a lot of him in here.
And another thing I do want to bring to light is that Henry Cavill is someone who I want to say is a very dedicated actor. I mean, again, you know, him stating that he did play multiple times, and multiple.
We know.
He found his own voice, and he found the voice for Geralt. And he said, you know, in playing The Witcher 3, he kind of found that it's kind of like a whisper, a little bit of a raspiness, and that's the tone for Geralt. And you see that. Like, if you play the games and you hear how the character is there.
That's how he talks. I know.
Henry Cavill did a very, very good job of showcasing that. And I mean, again, and then the sword fighting, I want to say, was just on point.
That was cool.
And he kind of, in the interviews, and this is why I'm kind of like urging people, like, if you don't want to know a lot of the background on it, or if you do, go on YouTube and see the interviews that they did. He said the sword fighting to him was taught, and it was kind of like a dance. And if you look at it, all of the movements are extremely fluid.
Yeah. Like I said, for me, this was his passion project.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Really wanted to bring this to life. There was a lot of people when they said The Witcher was going to be turned into a show. There was a lot of, pictures out there.
Backlash.
No, there was a lot of pictures of him out there with white hair already. People that edited it themselves and put it out there. And when he saw it, he's like, well, why not? And I'm like, exactly, why not?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Boss Logic. Who was one of the first, like, and if you guys don't know who he is, look him up. He's on Instagram. He's actually contracted through Marvel to do a lot of their posters going forward, which is big up and congrats to Boss Logic for that.
Good job, Boss Logic.
Oh, he has a contract with Marvel now to do a lot of their promotional posters.
I remember that we shouted you out too, so head stuff our way. We don't mind.
We're trying to wallpaper the apartment now with all Marvel stuff. No, that's a joke. I don't know. It won't happen unless Carmen says it's okay.
Well, if you have a bigger place, if you have your own little den, I don't care what you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. If Man Cave is available, it would be wallpapered.
If not, it would be half mine, half yours.
Okay, so our cave. No kids allowed. Because y'all messy. Anyway. Again, you know, it's just, he did such a phenomenal job. And I can't stop praising Henry Cavill for this because it's the type of method acting that I want to see someone bring into a passion project. And he just did it flawlessly. And it's just amazing. But, with everything that we've stated about the show, and, you know, granted, we are not going to see anything from The Witcher till 2021.
Boo. But it's fine. Well, I understood, because remember when The Witcher was first, like, announced until now?
It's been a year.
And, right. You know, and it's a lot because they go and they... This is not done in like a studio or whatever.
No, it's a lot of destination filming.
So that takes time. All right. So we have to do our rating because I'm seeing that once again we're ranting and we're not going to give our rating. So I'm asking you, your rating on this show, 1 through 5.
I'm going to give this one personally, and this is shocking for me to even say, Because very rarely do I give anything a 5-star rating.
What are you talking about? You just did with Mandalorian.
It's the first one that I did.
This is true. Okay, go ahead.
If you heard me, Brother Wade, you know, whenever we review anything, it's very...
I have not done a five-star. I just think you were copying me. That's cool. Go ahead.
No, I'm dead serious. You know, Mandalorian was one that I gave the 5-star. I'm going to give The Witcher a five-star rating. This is a fantastic, amazing show.
Yeah, I like the whole lore of it. And of course, you know, since he copied my rating, mine is also 5. I don't know, people are going to think, oh, because of Henry. No, it's not just because of him. It was because it was a great show. It intrigued me. I enjoyed it, every single minute of it, from the time that I was supposed to be at work at 8 in the morning and I didn't get to bed till almost 2 watching this. So, yeah, right. And having 2 kids in the morning.
Because we sat there and we watched 3 episodes back to back.
Exactly. So, yes, my rating is a 5.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Hillcarn for coming onto the show.
You're welcome.
And being able to do this.
You guys are welcome.
I feel like we're going to have to change our banner, man. I think we're going to have to incorporate Hillcarn.
I will be coming once in a blue. I also am a working mom of 2 kids.
Yes, so... and I am a working dad with 2 kids, but we still find time to do this.
I know, it's fine. I give you more of the time than I do.
Yeah, I know you do. But again, we took advantage because, Emmy Boo is taking a nap. So, but ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Give us a like on Instagram, Big Heck Wade Adventures. We have our Instagram. We have our Twitter. Coming soon, we do have an announcement for the year 2020. We will be joining a network. And with that, I am not going to go into any more details on it.
More details. That has to be an episode.
Exactly. We are going to be joining with another group who is amazing. So we will be part of a bigger umbrella.
That's between you and Wade. Right. I just come here once in the blue and help you guys out on Instagram and Twitter. So.
Yes. Hillcarn is technically our woman behind the scenes who helps us.
At times.
Yes. So thank you for listening to our review, ladies and gentlemen. And with that, I give you a peace, a salute, and we're out.